What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and today we're starting off with a question from a listener named Gracie.
My name is Gracie Bates. I am 7 years old, and my What If question is, what if you could turn into television characters from TV shows? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gracie. TV is one of the many places I look for inspiration for my stories, and I wonder which show inspires each of you most of all. Maybe it can also inspire a what if question, like this write-in question from Xavier G, who writes, what if all the movies in the world, including all the Ghostbuster movies, all the Marvel movies, and all the Star Wars movies were real? And fortunately for us today, all of those movies also have TV counterparts, so we can answer both of your questions as we find out.
Hold your horses, Mr. Eric. We got a shout out. Noah, age 8, who is turning 9 on October 5th, 2024.
Happy birthday, Noah!
Noah loves otters and Pokemon.
Then I wish you an utterly amazing birthday.
Ooh. That was rough, Mr. Eric.
I stand by it, Kathunkle.
Well, I am here to shout out Abby L, who has been listening to What If World since the beginning. Abby writes, I love this podcast. It's the best part of my day every night. My favorite things are foxes.
And finally, I would like to shout out Gunnar R, who writes, I am 15 years old and love the show. Keep up the good work. That really means a lot, Gunnar. And now it's time for us to find out. What if all the movies in the world, including all the Ghostbuster movies, all the Marvel movies, and all the Star Wars movies were real? And what if you could turn into TV characters? So strap in and prepare for a few What If World takes on some of your favorite What Is World characters and creatures. Your story starts after a quick break.
It's been a long time since I've had a reason to noirate, but I think today's the day.
Oh, Alabaster Zero, are you taking over today?
Mr. Eric, you're cramping my style.
Oh, I thought your style was dungaree jackets.
Yes, dungaree jacket and hard-nosed detective stories. Those are the only two things manly enough to be part of my style.
Hello, Alabaster Zero. I made cookies for our first case back,
said Fairylise, bringing in a tray of slick, sepia-tone cookies that smelled like grit and the city and old jean jackets.
I think you're smelling yourself. It's probably time to give that jacket a wash.
Just leave it to my old partner, Fairylise, to step in and lay some hard truths on me, making this dark and stormy night somehow even darker.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alabaster. You know, it is morning time. I'm supposed to watch Pixicato tonight.
So maybe it was a bright and sunny morning, but it was still dark and stormy in my heart.
Oh, well, Alabaster, do you want to talk about it?
Mr. Eric, stop interrupting.
I can tell you're upset, but you don't need to take that tone with me.
That's the tough tone I take with everybody.
Not with me, you don't, Alabaster.
Only because your style is even tougher and grittier and...
I'm a fairy with a sparkly wand who happens to like wearing trench coats.
I felt like the story was slipping away and not really going anywhere, so I gave Mr. Eric a clue that would lead him out of this story, so I could do it myself.
Okay, I hear you, Alabaster. Just have fun.
I will not have fun! Gonna find monsters or something. TV monsters and movie ones, probably.
Okay, love you, bye!
Said Mr. Eric. But I don't talk about my feelings with people out loud, or even narrate them in my head, because that's lovey-dovey stuff, and it's not my style.
The cookies were good.
A little too good, perhaps.
Alabaster, the case is not the cookies. They just taste especially good to you because they're my special case cookies and we haven't had them together in a long time.
That's right. Fair Elise had been president these past 4 years, leaving me as a lone wolf, which is of course the coolest, toughest, and hairiest wolf of them all. Covered in big scars and old wolf spit and dirt and stuff.
Actually, wolves are very tidy creatures who spend a lot of time grooming and will even bathe themselves.
We were interrupted by the roar of a mighty lone wolf, probably.
Doesn't sound like a wolf, but we should investigate,
said Fair Elise. You see, we didn't actually have a case yet. Or at least, she didn't know what it was.
I know, I'm so excited.
But there was no time to explain because of that possibly wolf howl that sounded more like a groar, but we needed to investigate anyway.
You know, you can talk directly to me rather than Noiri.
I burst out the door as fast as my tough old boots could carry me. But then, I heard a rip, a tear, and the fabric of space-time, possibly? Or had the monster already gotten me here? No! No! What a short story.
Alabaster, your dungaree jacket got caught on the doorknob. I'm afraid there's a rather big rip in it.
What? But who am I without my dungaree?
A wonderful friend, a hard-working detective, a kind-hearted...
Just a big ball of dirt and grit with nothing to contain my manliness.
Now, really, Alabaster, I can fix it and wash it and make it good as new.
Instantly with a magic spell? I asked, but not hopefully, because hope isn't a detective's game.
It's okay to hope for things, Alabaster. But no, this is a very old, very frayed, very dirty jacket. Pixicato and I will clean it and take care of it tonight at bedtime, and you'll have it back well in advance of your next case.
So I took off my jean jacket, which was not a big deal to me at all, because nothing's a big deal to a tough. Where are we going?
To investigate that noise, I think this one was closer.
And so we did. And I straightened the collar of my plain white t-shirt as we headed out the door.
Alabaster, do you need me to take over the narration?
Alabaster Zero doesn't need nothing from nobody.
Oh, so, I should just say goodbye? Leave you with your tarnished jacket? And no partner for this mysterious case?
No, wait, please, stay. You're my friend and I need you.
As soon as Alabaster Zero turned over the narration to me, he felt just a little bit better. Because sharing what's deep inside us with the people we are most close to and comfortable around helps every great detective share their burden and focus better on the case in front of them.
Oh, really? I should do that more often,
said Alabaster. In this time, I really wanted to believe him. We left his apartment building to see that the streets were overrun by creatures and costumed people that all looked vaguely familiar.
Hey, it's Hat Man.
Hat Ring Attack.
And Wondering Woman.
Keep wondering.
Ooh, and all my favorite Snoo came on. Pikasnoo.
Pikasnoo.
Snarizard. Snurtle.
A bunch of samurai tortoises.
Kawa Karate.
Ooh, also Shark Gator.
Good thing this helmet lets me breathe air.
And a bunch of narwhals with unicorn horns made of solid light?
They're from Shark Wars, Fair Elise. This is so cool.
But they're on land.
Well, you know, narwhals are mammals. Plus we grew legs.
And we never get so many people gathered in one place. It's too many voices for Mr. Eric to handle.
Hey, did someone say my name? Do you all need me for something?
Go home, Mr. Eric!
Alabaster, your tone is hurtful. Can you think of a better way to ask me?
Oh, please. I'm just trying to hang out with my friend and have a tough, cool time.
Oh my gosh, did something happen to your jean jacket?
It's a dungaree jacket, and I would very much appreciate it if you could please leave me alone.
What a respectful way to ask me. I will check on you in 5 minutes.
That's not
necessary.
But I can see you're upset, and that's what real friends do,
said Mr. Eric as he faded away, perhaps being a little overbearing, but still trying to do his best to help a friend who is feeling lost.
I'm not lost. I'm right outside my apartment building. I just don't know who I am without my jean jacket. And now all these crazy creatures are walking around and I'm feeling a little overwhelmed.
My partner needed reminding of the first thing we learn at detective school.
Always keep your collar popped.
But what if you don't have a collar that pops?
Like this crew neck t-shirt, exactly. I don't know what to do.
Your style is missing something. I give it a C+,
said a giant monster, green and towering, with two long arms ending in gnarled claws and a mouth big enough to eat us both in a bite.
You, on the other hand, are very self-possessed and are doing that cool noiration thing. You get an A.
I didn't need his validation.
Well, that gets you an A+.
But that voice did sound familiar.
No, it doesn't. I'm the Ranker, a giant outer space monster that arbitrarily rates things he comes across.
It didn't feel arbitrary when you gave me a C+.
And with your neediness, you're down to a C.
Wait a second, Petey? Is that you?
No, nonsense. Tis I.
Okay, yes, it's me,
said Petey, disactivating the voice modulator inside the enormous mechanized costume he was wearing.
Here, this was always one of my favorite giant space monsters, and now I get to be it for real. Okay, well, it doesn't feel good to be rated by others. Putting me in my place, that gets you back up to a B-.
Please stop.
Okay, yes, I hear it now.
Petey the Pirate was known for having a lot of odd jobs.
But he's not known for being able to afford giant animatronics. Verilise, I think this is the case I was telling you about,
said Alabaster, forgetting for a moment that he didn't have his classic detective jacket and just looking at the facts.
Oh, that's the first thing we learn in detective school.
Yeah, well, maybe I didn't pay for the entire costume up front, but as long as I pay it off in a year, I won't owe any interest.
Did the person who sold you this costume try to get you to do some kind of evil scheme?
What are you talking about? No.
I bought it on Cramazon.
Cramazon? Alabaster Zero had been gone a long time. While the whirlpool was swirling throughout the what-if-verse, a creature had come to our planet from worlds and realities beyond.
Oh, yar, she's a sweet old Betty. Cramma Olm, they call her.
Like O-L-M?
Yar, they're amazing creatures that look a bit like axolotls, but are an entirely different species that dwell in caves and are blind and can live over 100 years.
I had to interrupt the Olm talk. They're really cool creatures, worth looking up with a grown-up's help. But I wasn't sure if this was germane to the case.
I didn't know Olm were from Germany.
No, germane.
All right. So Grandma Olm started this Cramazon business where you can order stuff.
Yar, that's right.
Then we've got our first clue, Verilise.
Alabaster typed in Cramazon on his phone, and we headed to the nearest of the 5 warehouses they already owned in this city.
So Nuat City is being taken over by some sort of outer space sales alien, or Salian, as we will say for short.
But then won't we have to explain to people what Salian means?
Only if they haven't listened to this story.
For once, I couldn't argue with Alabaster Zero, and so we...
Hey, wait for me! Sorry, Petey. Whenever I hang out with you, sometimes I start to talk a little bit too much like you, and it gets confusing.
Don't worry about that. I'll just put back on
my Ranker voice modulator and start ranking things again.
Well, you better not rank me!
And in swooped a large, shining robot whose plate armor was lacquered with beautiful flowers.
It is I, Iron Mom, a superhero whose power is seeing the beauty in everyone, and also blasting lasers. Pew, 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 pew! Oh, Zack's gonna love this.
Of course, Iron Mom was my friend, Mama Gemma, but her elaborate costume could fly and blast lasers.
And the mirror finish of my chest plate reflects everyone's truest self. A person who is worthy of love.
That's an awfully odd collection of superpowers.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, we shouldn't need so many superheroes. Just everyday people validating, listening to, and supporting one another. Ranker. Rank your attitude. A 10.
I thought you were doing letter grades.
Ranker gives your fact-checking a thumbs down.
It's just too many ranking systems.
It seems you're bothered by something, Alabaster Z. Where's your dungaree jacket?
It got ripped and incredibly dirty and stinky. It was kind of falling apart, but still I blame the doorknob and this Ranker for distracting me,
said Zero, casting blame on everyone else, but not looking at himself.
Oh, this must be hard for you.
No, it is not. I want to just solve this case with my friend.
I know you really like being the dungaree detective.
But no one's ever called me that, even after I asked them to.
And you miss your jacket.
Stop doing, don't. Hold that mirror in my face.
But when you look at my shiny Iron Mom robot suit and see a reflection, the jacket looks a little different, doesn't it?
Huh?
Iron Mom's mirror-like suit showed Detective Zero wearing a jean jacket covered in rhinestones and rainbow-toned sunglasses.
Hey, that's not my style.
Why can't it be?
Asked Iron Mom.
Because everyone thinks of me as the dungaree detective.
Never thought of you that way.
So I always figured that's who I had to be.
Alabaster, you know what my style is?
Sweaters? Knit sweaters?
My style is what I like for me.
Even if other people don't like it or see you that way? And rank you for it?
Well, everyone knows the Ranker is a villain.
But when you find the style that feels like you, your true friends are always gonna celebrate it.
Even if it's sparkles on dungaree?
Oh, honey, you think you're the first cowboy who ever wanted to shine?
Detective,
corrected Alabaster, but there was a little smile behind his sulk.
Oh, Mama Gemma, are you, like, changing your style? Or has Papaloo been acting strange, like a villain from another universe named Wardrobe, and he's convincing all of you to get these costumes, and then...
Oh no, Papaloo's too busy to be a villain. He got a new job delivering packages for Cramazon.
The plot thickens,
said Alabaster.
Actually, Fairlies, could I noirate a little more?
Even without your jacket?
But I wasn't worried about my dungaree. I'd expressed my feelings and found my style without having to change my clothes at all.
I'm proud of you, Alabaster.
But what mattered most is that I was proud of myself. And I'd finally found my case.
Wait, what case?
Yeah, I'm a little confused about that too.
Babaloo's working for Cramazon, which is delivering all these expensive costumes. It can't be a coincidence. We've just got to get to the Cramazon warehouse to...
Look, Mama Jamma!
Said someone who sounded like Papaloo, but probably wasn't. But he was also wearing a big, green, slimy ghost costume for some reason. And I was really confused.
Cramazon's been so elated with my great deliveries, well, they gave me a free costume!
Oh, compost ghost!
With real eating food waste and barfing out rich soil powers. Check it out!
I give this eating of my villainous monster costume
a check plus. It was really making me start to rank everything. Wardrobe never wore his own costumes. It wasn't his style. Was there a mystery here? Could Fairlies and I ever solve it? We just have to spend the next 17 days straight working the case.
Sorry, I've got to go pick up Pixicato from ZZ's house.
Well, that's also my house. Wanna ride?
Oh, thank you.
Wait up for compost, ghost! There's some nice soil for you there if you need it, Alabaster.
I don't need soil. I'm trying to solve a case.
The end.
Oh, sure. Now you come back, Mr. Eric.
Yeah, I wanted to check on you, and it seemed like the story was over. I didn't want to interrupt.
It wasn't over. I was in the middle of a big, juicy case.
And then everyone had to go home. Did that make you feel a little lonely or overlooked?
Stop trying to investigate my feelings. It was a crime story.
And I'm sure we'll get more what-if questions related to wardrobe and Cramazon and wherever all these costumes came from and what they're doing. But maybe that wasn't the mystery of this story.
Well, I did figure out that I was maybe gonna finally put some cool, like, jewels. Some tough jewels that I found that I wanted to sew into my jacket.
That sounds awesome. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, and I bought these like two-tone, rainbowy shiny sunglasses. Maybe I could wear them if the glare resistance was absolutely incredible.
You do you, Alabaster.
Thanks. I think I will.
Gracie, Xavier, thank you for your questions. I hope you all enjoyed your story. And even if I don't get to answer your question, I will always check out yours and be grateful for it.
I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, my producer, Miss Lynn, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who know that whether you're wearing a costume or your favorite outfit or trying something completely new, your style is always you. And until we meet again,
keep wondering.
Hey!
How do you like it, Mr. Eric?
Okay, that's fair.
What if world? This is what if world.
I Can Be Calm is back this Wednesday with an all-new season.
My name is Jake, and I am 10 years old. When I grow up, I want to be a pro soccer player.
My name is Zach, and I'm on the Portland Timbers.
What is your favorite thing about playing soccer?
When I actually scored the game-winning goal against Austin, and I was able to celebrate right in front of my family and the Timbers family section.
Tune in Wednesday at 5 p.m. for I Can Become a Soccer Player.
With Tuppence.